All right, so
got my table set.
My name is Pamela Thompson, part of the oversight team, and today I'm going to be talking. Today I'm going to be talking on a subject that's kind of not dear to my heart, but has certainly dogged me through my years, and that's the title of Unrequited Justice and Finding Grace on the Other Side. So, when I was asked to preach, immediately this word came into my head, unrequited justice. And I'm like, is that a thing? What is that? So I know what unrequited love is. It's kind of a thing that I had when I was a teenager for David Cassidy. He didn't respond. He never acknowledged, he never returned those feelings that I had. And I had to resolve my life without the love that I so wanted. So, it was long before Russell. He requited, he definitely requited. So, our unrequited justice. We live life with unresolved issues, some of them small, some of them are major, and no one can compare their unrequited justice to some others, because you're always going to hear a story that's like, whoa, that's worse than I've got, what's wrong with me? But we all bear the scars of the things that are unresolved. Just like, I'll get back to that later. All right, so I have known my fair share of the things that never get resolved, whether it's the person's died, they don't acknowledge, it's just been brushed under the mat, and you keep on having to deal with life with that tension, that thing that's just never quite finished. So I have many, many times cried out, where's my justice? And had weeks of crying when things have come up that you could be the bad person and sort of go, and then you choose to sort of step back and you don't actually make the waves. But inside you're crying, where is my justice? And I know a few of my friends here would know the pain and walk with me through that sort of thing. So today I just wanted to give you a few practical things. We're going to talk about some natural things. We're going to have a few verses, we're going to have an opportunity to pray for you if you wish, that sort of thing. But I just wanted to talk about the guy that really showed me the spiritual direction for this sermon. And it's a graffiti artist. And I'm going to put up, sorry, Russell's going to put up. Can everyone see that okay? Has anyone seen that? Yeah, this is on an overpass that goes across river, over South Road onto River Road. So it was there for a few weeks until the council in their civic service painted over it. But I'm wondering, what was the circumstances that person crawled up that embankment and put that graffiti up there? Who was that for? It says, can you go back?
Yeah. It says it up there.
I hope you heal from the apology that you never got. He ran out of room with the got, but it's there. And that's sort of, every time I went past that, I saw it and went, who was that for? What was that about? How many people have seen that and gone, I've got the apology that I never got. I haven't got the apology. How am I going to deal with that? How am I going to heal with that? And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. It captured something some of us have whispered in the dark. There's wounds that have never been acknowledged. There's injustices that can't be named by those who caused them. There's childhood wounds, broken promises, betrayals that go unmourned because the other person's moved on. We don't get the satisfaction about being proven right. We don't get our day in court. We just get life, and somehow we have to heal from that. Can anyone relate to that?
Yeah?
Don't want to show of hand nibbles, but I see your hand. I mean, big time. So there are a few ways of dealing with this, and this is one of them. Next slide. Hollywood justice. Does anyone, okay. The first one, I learned about how to make images on ChatGPT. Thank you, Nerida. Thank you, all of those people that helped me. But who knows a couple of these movies that this represents? Can we shout out? I reckon we could get at least 5 revenge movies. Go.
When Arnie says, I'll be back.
Taken, 1, 2, and 3.
Taken, 1. Hey, that counts as 1. Taken? All right. Okay. So what?
Any of
Liam Neeson. Yeah, any of Liam Neeson. John Statham, Mel Gibson, any others?
The Count of Monte Cristo.
Count of, that's a really great one. I love that movie. What about Jaws the Revenge? Okay. He's got issues, all right? Any other ones? Oh, dark. Okay, yes.
Gladiator.
The Man in the Iron Mask. Yes, Ben? Of course, absolute classic. That's described with the one, I needed a woman representative. There are some women revenge movies, but honestly, I had so much fun with that image. I put in, I want a woman who's walking away from a house on fire. And it came back with ChatGPT saying, no, that contravenes everything about what ChatGPT does. And I went, okay, could she hold a teddy bear? So it produced an image of a house on fire with a child walking away with a teddy bear. So we got that one. So this is what Hollywood can show as how to resolve unresolvable justice. We get in there, there's a beat down, the bad guy finishes up dead. Can you go to the next slide, please? We love it. There's justice, there's closure. The bad guy loses. In some movies, they still win. But in real life, there's no soundtrack. There's no neat ending, and there's unrequited justice. What if we flipped the paradigm on its head, not looking at gaining justice, but restoration? What would that look like, and how would we do it? So I'm going just to flip through 3 things and just explain it a little while. And you'll probably go, oh, I see how that works. And then we'll sort of go into how we do this. So our first one is insurance. Who's got new for old on their insurance, on their contents? Anyone with REA, yeah? Does anyone know that they've got new for old on their insurance?
I don't even know what that means.
What that means is if you have a 2005 rear projection TV, someone comes in and steals it, they're not going to replace it with a 2005 rear projection TV. They're going to replace it with a modern TV that's fit for purpose, that is straight out of the box. And what it is being able to restore function, not the exact item. That's what new for old means. So that often you're in a better place because you've got a nice newer model. And the insurer covers the cost to make you whole again, as if you were buying a new one today. And that's a little bit like restoration. We'll come back to that. The second one is motorbikes. Russell had motorbikes for probably a good half of our married life. And I spent the first few years of marriage riding around on bikes behind him, heavily pregnant with children, but I loved it. But what I couldn't get right was how to lean. So I would sit upright. I would be like, no, we're not going like this because we're all going to fall over. So this is what I thought I looked like. But this is what I probably look like. We need to lean in and we need to trust the driver. The next part of the motorbike analogy is the motorbike principle. Again, Russell has been the one that's taught me this. So when a bike rider is riding a bike, he needs to look where he's going. And if we stare right in front, we're going to wobble, we're going to overcorrect, and it's not going to be pretty. So we look through the corner to where we're going, and the body goes with it. Next one. Target fixation. It can work for you, and it can work against you. So if you focus on the hazard, you're going to steer into it. You need to focus on the path through, and you'll ride through directly. So that's all I know about motorbikes. But if you have a velociraptor running at you, please look where you're going. Has everyone got motorbikes okay now? Awesome. Okay. So it's not just a riding technique. It is a bit of a life metaphor. Look to where you want to go, not what you're afraid of. When we're wronged or hurt, our natural instinct is to stare at the damage. We replay it. We analyze it. We fixate on the person, the betrayal, and the why. That's the big one, the why. But the more we focus on what broke us, the more our hearts lean towards bitterness and self-protection, and we steer right into the guardrail. God is a God who loves us and doesn't want us living in past hurt. Restoration doesn't come from staring at the crash site. It comes when we lift up our eyes and we start looking through the bend towards what God is restoring in us. Not the apology we never got, but the healing that he still offered. It's not the justice that didn't arrive, but the grace that's waiting on the other side. Just like this. We don't ignore the pain, but we choose not to steer into it. We look towards the road of peace, wholeness and quiet strength that comes from grace. Who knew? The Bible knew the motorbike analogy of looking to where you want to go. Proverbs 4:25-27 says, "Let your eyes look forward directly and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the left or the right. Turn your foot away from evil." Yeah. And the third thing. We're going to look for who has actually heard of something called the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. Has anyone heard of this before? I can guarantee if you haven't, you will. Hey, some hands at the back, some hands over there. Some educated people. I know. I would not know at all. It's the feeling that once you notice something, in this particular case, a red car, you are going to see it everywhere. Who's had that happen to them? Yeah. That's the name for it. It's the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. It's also known as the frequency illusion. And it's got two aspects of it. So we'll go to the next one. Is that the second one? Ah, yes. The first one is selective attention. Your brain starts focusing on the thing that caught your interest. And then the second one is confirmation bias. You interpret the repeat as the proof it's everywhere. So when you see it, you know it's everywhere. It's the same with our emotions. When we see it, it's just what is always there. It's always everywhere. So how this plays out psychologically and spiritually, and I'm going to put the slides up, but I'm going to read a little bit because there's lots of bits in here. So the next slide. Why does it matter? What you focus on grows in your perception. If you dwell on hurt and injustice, you'll keep spotting it. But if you look for grace and healing, that's what you begin to collect, what your mind begins to collect. So we'll go to the next one, please. So selective attention to hurt. When someone wrongs you, your brain knows it, and hearts go on a high alert. You start noticing everything that reminds you of that personal moment. Who knows that feeling when you sort of go, you go, trigger, 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 trigger. And it's not that thing, it's the thing behind it. And you're just, your brain is going, whoa, danger, danger, Will Robinson, I need to protect myself. Could be a phrase somebody uses, or a movie plot that mirrors your pain, or even small acts that seem to echo the same betrayal. Your mind tries to make sense of what's happened and it keeps spotlighting those matches. But this consistent noticing reinforces the wound, doesn't allow distance or rest, and forgiveness by contrast requires some mental quiet. The ability to not see that hurt in every corner of life. Second one is the confirmation bias. The story keeps retelling itself. Once you've been hurt, just your brain seeks proof from the world of people that can't be trusted, and that's confirmation bias. So every time you see something that fits the story, it strengthens your narrative. People always let you down. They've moved on. And I'm the same one, I'm the only one that's carrying this. Forgiveness requires a different narrative. It makes space for imperfection, grace, and the possibility of change. I often talk to people about if they're having a difficult conversation with someone, expect the first thing that comes out of their mouth to be the wrong reaction and to ignore it. Because they're operating one of those, oh, look at that man grinning down there. He knows that. I've taught him that many, many times. Because people come out with the same thing. The person that you're talking to has biases and all of these things going. So they may go, and then they settle down, and then they give you what they actually think, not what their reaction is. But we're concentrating it on us today. So the next one is emotional pattern recognition. You notice the car model. You notice the threats or the emotional triggers. It feels similar, so it must be the same. And forgiveness feels slippery because the mind keeps trying to replay the hurt. So how do we reverse the lens? The same brain that spots hurt can learn to spot grace. We actually train ourselves to look for kindness and not confirmation of harm. Look for the small ways of restoration that's happening, not reminders of what's lost. Again, we train ourselves to see grace more often, and your brain will build new patterns. So now we're making it work for us, not against us, because we're telling our brains to look for something different. And then when we do, we start to see it more often and more often. What you focus on expands. Next one, please. When you are reminded, the Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the removing. Please don't remove. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, forgiveness is not a one-time act. It's mental renovation. I've often said to people when I'm talking to them or myself that you forgive and the ghost of that thing comes back and then you've got to forgive again and then it rears its ugly head again and then you've got to forgive again. So it's sometimes it's not just a one and done. It's a process and you'll find that those things don't happen as much. So we're rewiring our mind. So, power of fixing your thoughts. This is one of my go-to. I learned this when I first got saved at 15. There was a Honey Tree. What's the lady's name? Her name was Honey Tree. And she put this scripture to song, and it's always in my head. And then I rewrote it with different lyrics, tune later on. But I will sing this to myself. I will speak this over myself. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. And that can take grit to go, no, I'm going to think on this, not that. The next one is taking our thoughts captive. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Sometimes you just got to get up and go, nah. This far, no further. I am not going to do this. I'm not going to carry on this narrative in my head. This happened 15 years ago. I'm not that person anymore. I'm this person anymore. We're taking captive of those thoughts. And we're saying, we make a different choice that will obey Christ, not my resentment of that situation. The next one, we guard our heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Choose what repeats in your awareness, what becomes your pattern. You with me so far? Yeah? And the next is Christ's example on the cross. So we haven't really talked about forgiveness yet, have we? But Christ forgave us. How can we stand here when Christ went to the cross and died for our sin and all of the things that we have done and not be able to forgive somebody else? What does that say about us, that we can throw what Christ has done? But I can't. I can't get over that. Sometimes it's a choice. Sometimes it is something that people need to get help through. But eventually we need to forgive. And that does not mean forgive and let yourself be vulnerable. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about forgiveness for you. Forgiveness doesn't really affect the other person. You can forgive somebody who's died. They're not going to, it's not going to make any difference. But where the difference is going to be is for you. Yeah? God's forgiveness. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is what Jesus does for us. When we come into relationship with Jesus and we go, God, oh Jesus, I accept you into my heart, in whatever way that is, what happens is sometimes in the old sinner's prayer, we do the sinner's prayer. I've sinned, you know, I ask for forgiveness, come into my heart, and Jesus comes into our heart. But that's not clear cut for everybody. It could be upside down and roundabout. But the important thing is we come into relationship with Christ. And when we do that and we allow God to heal us and to forgive us for our sin, he throws it as far from the east to the west and he remembers it no more. How crazy is that? He's not a forgetful God. He has not got anemia. What is it? Amnesia. I was going anemia. He's not lacking in iron either. He's got iron, baby. He's not. It's called divine attention control. He does not think on those things anymore. He thinks on the love that he has for us. He thinks on the fact that Jesus has died for us. And he sees Christ in us when we accept Christ into our lives. So he does not see that sin anymore. But what that is for us. Can we do that? Can we practice not concentrating on the sin, that injustice, that thing that was not resolved? Can we do that ourselves? And sometimes that may need the Spirit of God to help us through that. And the restoration vision. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23. Healing begins when our inner sight is led back to still waters and right paths, where our frequency shifts from re-seeing injustice to re-seeing restoration. So I just wanted to give you a few practical things. Next slide. Realize what you're up against. One of the scriptures that, again, is one of those ones that has followed me all of my life is John 10:10. The evil one comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, and life abundantly. He's redeeming us and restoring us. But there is the evil one that wants to take our peace. He wants to give us pain. He wants to put evil into our lives. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy all the things that are good in our life. But we've got a Christ who is stronger than the evil one. But sometimes we have to remember that. And we can be listening to the wrong voice. There's that old Indian adage, you know, the wolf that is going to be ripping everybody apart, and the faithful dog that's really kind and loving. And which one is the stronger? Does anyone know the answer to that? Exactly. You're getting all the gold stars today, Nev. The one that you feed the most. So it's the same in our lives. The devil is called the accuser. He can be throwing, you're not good enough. You didn't get that restoration. You didn't get that justice because you're not good enough. You didn't get the apology because the other person was right. You don't deserve to get a resolution. Balderdash. In the Bible, who was that guy? Job. He didn't deserve any of the stuff that happened to him. His mate said he did. The accuser was probably in his ear. But God restored him. His poor wife had to have a lot of more children. But he didn't get the old kids back. But he got restoration. And sometimes that's in our life. And this year for me has been a really interesting year because I've been putting into place some things that I've never done before. I've actually gone to lawyers and things like that to sort of go, have I got a case here? And the lawyers, because they work on, they don't get paid unless they can win, went, you know, nearly everyone's dead. It's not really worth it for us. It's kind of worth it for me, but it was actually a really good sort of thing. One of I was adopted when I was first born, and then re-adopted at age four, and quite abused in that time. But I found in sort of preparing for this, I had to go and find out where they were, what their names were, what the addresses were they still alive. And the mother died many years ago, but the father had only died a matter of months before I did that exercise. And honestly, the relief on me was, I can't do anything. He's dead. There's no way I can go to him and get justice for what happened in that time. So it was kind of like good, because there was no choice. I only had Christ to go to for restoration. So I've actually swapped out, rather than looking at what happened and the justice that has been denied to me, to looking at, hold on, wait a minute, I have been restored, I'm just not concentrating on it. I have family, I have love in my life, I have relatives who cherish me, I have friends that love me, I have a church family that embraces me, and I've actually got everything that I need. Why am I looking to that thing? And as soon as I went, oh, hold on, it wasn't big in my mind, but it was still muttering. So once I've done that, it's like, oh, wait a minute, that's what's happening. I actually need to focus on what God has restored and is restoring and will restore in my life. So what I would suggest to you, if that's something that you are, is been tickling in your mind, maybe God's been poking you a little bit this morning. Where do we go from here? Some of the things that has been spoken about in this church have been really helpful. So if you go back and you look at some of those sermons on awe and joy and peace, and hit up Ron for her amazing communion on forgiveness. Ask her for the notes because they were amazing. And start to actually look at what God has already done in you for restoration. And focus on those things and let those things grow. So as we finish up, let's take one last look at this little table. Has anyone tried to work out what this all is? No. Has anyone? Right, okay.
It's an option.
Did anyone try and work out what these things meant? Why I chose them? What they said about me or maybe about you? Did it make you a little uneasy that you didn't know what it was all about? Or maybe you didn't even notice? When I gathered these things, I went through about four iterations. It's really hard to gather random things together. And I finally got it, took a picture, was really proud of it. And my daughter-in-law came over, Monica, and I said, what does this mean to you? And she goes, I think you're trying to control the world. And I went, dang. I had vinegar, I had vitamin C, I had the gloves. And she thought I was trying to cleanse everything and really just take control of my environment. So, yeah, why did I choose the Hulk doll instead of Spider-Man or Iron Man? I don't know. Could say something about me. But we live with things that don't line up neatly. There's a strange mix of the strong and the fragile, the resolved and not. And maybe that's where healing starts. And at the moment we stop needing every piece to make sense, we're on our way. Can I pray for you? God, you see what's left unspoken, the hurts that never got an apology, and the questions that never found answers. You are the one that restores what justice can't reach. So today, if there's bitterness that's taken root, plant peace. Where grief has lingered, grow joy. Where stories feel unfinished, breathe your grace into the gaps. And help us fix our eyes, not on the crash site, but on the road ahead. The path, the story that you're still writing. May we become the living proof that restoration is possible, even when justice never comes. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I do want to give an invitation to you. If something stirred in you today, maybe there's been a bit of poking going on, don't rush past it. There's people here that will pray with you if you want, or just listen. And sometimes that's the first act of restoration, just being seen, not necessarily fixed. So as we finish, if you do want to have prayer, we've got a few people here today that will pray with you. So just come up to the front and we will pray with you. So let me just read the benediction. I can't find the benediction. I love this. I didn't used to like it, but oh man, I love it now. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show his favor and give you his shalom, his peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Go in the Lord's shalom to love and serve the Lord through Jesus Christ our Lord. And drink coffee. And talk to someone or come and get prayed for. Thanks, darling. Thanks, Chris.